You are listening to Keep It Real with Terry and Sonny. And today we're going to continue on Christmas, Jesus' birthday. Four lessons and the day's lesson, and then we got one more for Christmas. We got a week to go for Christmas or Jesus' birthday. I try to approach Jesus' birthday different ways, different approaches, different angles, okay? And today is a good one. Today is a good one. And I was trying to come up with a title, and I could have called this a lot of different things, okay? But what came to me was and I'm going to put this down at the bottom when I edit it, okay? Then I put Christmas, and then I put the last word is love. So You got God, Christmas, and love. Reason why I put Christmas and not Christ's birthday is because more people relate to Christmas. I mean, just about everybody knows the Christmas story, you know?
Right.
So when they see this, they should relate more to it. If I put Jesus' birthday, some people, it might turn some people off.
Right. Maybe.
But it shouldn't. But anyway, and then I thought about doing this. I'm not sure if I can do this when I edit it because my edited software is only limited. I thought about God, Christmas, and love, but I was going to scratch out Christmas, and I was going to put Christ's birth on top of that. That's what I want to do, but I'm not sure if I can do that, okay? But the reason why I put this is because, of course, it's God. It's all about God. It's God, and it's about Jesus' birth, and it's about the love. God had so much love,
right?
And that's what it's about, the love of God.
Exactly. And you could see that in the air. It's just this time of the year. People are just more happy. People are just more go lucky. People are just enjoying the season, you know. It's like when Halloween comes around, man, you can feel the depression, the nastiness,
it's a different
stinking. It's almost like everybody is, it's wickedness, you know what I'm saying?
It's dark.
You feel that. But like come this time of the year, man, you just feel like everybody, like when you ride on the road, normally you ride on the road, but everybody just cutting everybody off, shooting around each other. But this time of the year, people are actually doing something weird. It's called, they're letting people go, you know what I'm saying? They're just being nice, you know what I'm saying? Because what happens is, the Bible says that a gift in the bosom perverts judgment. And what happens is when people get gifts, it makes them feel good. It makes their day better, you know what I'm saying?
Amen. So our scriptures today is going to be out of John 3:16 and 17.
Right.
Now, John 3:16 is one of the famous scriptures in the Bible.
Yeah.
Okay, I mean you see,
you almost quote that by heart. You
that's
know what
right.
I'm saying?
That's fine. Normally I do, but I like to read it, make sure I don't mess it up because I'm recording it. You know. That is one of the famous scriptures in the Bible, and I'm gonna read it right now. It's John 3:16 and 17. 16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life."
Yep.
17 says, For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him."
Come on.
Amen. That says good. Everything right there.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that's whole gospel in a nutshell. I mean, there's a lot into that, but that's what the gospel is.
Oh, yeah. You can take that little sentence right there and preach for a year, you know what I'm saying? Could break it down and everything.
Right.
But you know, I like the second part about it. God didn't send his son to condemn the world.
No, he didn't condemn it. He didn't want to judge it. You know, he had a purpose, and that was for... when he says the world, it's not really the earth. God cares about the earth, but it's not. It's the people in the earth.
Exactly.
Everybody was a sinner, so he came for the sinners. He came to save the sinners.
Right, and he showed that when he was here. If you're reading the text, he always went after the sinner. The people that nobody... It would be like he looked for people that nobody else wanted to have nothing to do with.
Right.
The deplorables, for lack of
That's
a better
a
word,
point.
You know what I'm saying? And those are the people he would go after. He would go after those. The one they would say, "Don't you know what kind of person this is?"
True.
And Jesus was like, and then not only that, he would not only love them, but then he would give a story out to the Pharisees or the people, and he would say, "Well, if you was actually saying if you was like one of them, you'd be set."
Yeah.
Because they realized who that they were messed up.
Right.
And there's a scripture. It's my favorite scripture in the Bible. Well, one of my favorite. Besides, I love this one. This one, too, also. You know what I'm saying? Wow. But it said, he who is forgiven much, love it much.
Amen.
Yeah. And you know, and when God came to forgive us, save us, he forgave us. And the people that messed up a lot and everything, that the world, like you say, you know, and the thing about it was the world, they did not know they needed a Savior at that time.
Yeah.
But they realized when Jesus came and when they stood on the side of him and seen how perfect he was. Mm-hmm. And they seen how they felt his glory. Jesus didn't have to say nothing to them. They just, for lack of a better word, they just broke down.
Right.
They realized, I need this, what this man has.
Right.
And they started, and then they said, you know what? I'm just going to put the stuff I got is no good. I need something better. And then that's when that kid was able to accept him.
Amen.
And it changed their lives. They did great things for Jesus after that.
Yeah, you had a good point that, you know, Jesus, he went out and found the sinners.
Right.
I mean, you know, he went out and looked. You know, he went after them. He didn't do what they were doing.
Right.
But he told them why he was here and
right.
who he was. You know what I mean? You know, he needs salvation. He'd be born again. And that reason why I brought it back up again, I think that's what we should be doing as Christians.
Exactly. You know? Exactly.
You know, we should do what Jesus did. And Jesus didn't always sit where the saved people were.
Nope.
He went out where the sinners were.
Right. And you know, it's like you said, one thing that you really, really hit and really hard, and it's a very, very good point is, he went and he hung out with the sinners, but he didn't do what the sinners did.
Right.
So in other words, he went and preached to people where they was, but he didn't have a drink with them or get drunk with them, for lack of a better word. You know what I'm saying? But he still hung out with them.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so he was strong enough to be able to do that. And you know, I think in that text, you stop and think about that whole idea is, number one is when we're preaching to people, we don't want to go preach to somebody that we're in an area that we're weak in.
Right.
You know, to try to get them saved, because you know we can fall in the area. But in the area that we've overcome and have victory in, we can use our testimony to help them out of that same situation.
Right.
You know what I mean? So that, you know, that's what Christ wants us to do.
Amen.
That's what he came for.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're talking about Christ's birth, which we celebrate as Christmas.
Right.
And now you can see what my title kind of coming together now, because it's God and the love God had, you know, because of his love he had for the world or for the people in the world, that, you know, his plan was to send his son, you know. And so it's really about God loves you. That's really
exactly.
what this is
yep.
about, you know. It all boils down to God loves you. And, you know, the church I used to go to before this one, I went to that church about 15 years, and this is like, this is in the 80s, okay, because I got saved in 81, okay. And, you know, a lot of people in our church would come up there and they would say, God loves you, you know. And, and even though, you know, you might know that, but they would do it. But a lot of times there was one person, I said this because there's one person that he was a leader of the church. In fact, he was a associate pastor for a while in the church. And you watched him over the years. You saw he was a man of God and he knew the word. And you know, and it was somebody that you really, you know, you can look up to like a mentor, you know. And he'd go around and he'd say, God loves you, but you could tell he meant it.
Right.
Some people, they'll just say it because they don't know what else to say, you know?
Yeah, it's just like a passing thing, you know what I'm saying?
But when he said it, you know he meant it. You know, it was coming from his heart, and it's coming from God. God put that in him. And so that's what it's all about. You know, this whole season is about that God loves you, but he wants you to take that love and go out and love other people. The whole season. I mean, we should be doing this every day as Christians. But the season, the Christmas season, we should be showing that God's love, not just have it in us, but pour it out.
Right, you know? Right. And you know, you really touched me on that section, because I know what you're talking about, because I have a friend, a person that I know very well, and I talk to him a lot and everything, and whenever I do something for them, they'll tell me they love me.
Right.
But besides that, they don't ever say that.
Right.
And I'm like, and I got to the point where one day I just said, don't tell me that when I do something for you.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? Because it makes me feel so cheap. Mm-hmm. Like my payment for you gonna tell me that because I'm doing something for you. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? But then I'll have situations like when out of the blue, and I'm not even expected, my wife will tell me she loves me.
Right.
And or my children will tell me that, or somebody will tell me that. And then I didn't do nothing to deserve it.
Right.
And because I didn't do nothing to deserve it, it means so much more to me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because I'm like, I just get that good feeling inside of me because I didn't do nothing for it. And that's how it was with Christ.
Right.
We didn't do nothing to deserve it.
No.
We actually, everything we did was actually, the way we deserved is judgment.
Amen.
But because God loved us when we didn't deserve it, it means so much more to us now because I didn't deserve this. I actually was doing wrong by your standard. And yet, in that, you still love me. Now I feel like I want. Just my nature is. Right. I feel like I want to repay you. I want to do stuff for you because I want to show my gratitude.
Right, right, right.
I want to show how thankful I am for what you did for me.
Right.
And so, but that's my nature. Not everybody's like that. But my nature is that I want to pay Jesus back for what he did for me.
Amen.
I know I can never do that.
Right.
But I'm surely going to try.
I'm in the same boat. The split second that I was born again, I accepted Christ in my life. I had that, you know, so much was changed in my life for better.
Exactly.
I could feel the presence of God. I could feel his love. That I just wanted, out of grateful, I just wanted to try to get closer to God, learn as much as I can, and I just wanted to give back.
Right.
So I immediately, and I didn't even know anything of that much, but I was already becoming a servant. You know, through my heart for appreciate what God did for me.
Exactly.
And then eventually when I got the teaching on being a servant, it all fell in place.
Exactly.
Because I'm doing that, but I wasn't doing that. I was just drawn to do that because I wanted to thank God so much. I want to be grateful, and like he says, it don't matter what I do, I never could pay him back.
Right.
You know? But I still had that desire to do it. You know, do what I could. You know.
So exactly.
I was always, when it came to learn how to serve God, I was always at that table.
And I think that's a part of the true transformation is.
Right.
Cuz you can see it with all the disciples, you know what I'm saying? All the disciples, they all felt like they felt like Peter, for example. Peter didn't feel like he was even worthy to be crucified the same way Jesus was crucified.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So they had in their heart, they were forgiven so much for what they was, and you can see it in their personalities when you read the gospel,
right,
the type of people that they are. And you know, cuz the gospels and all the Acts and all the episcopals and after that and everything, they all record everything that happened to the disciples' life. And you know, one thing that catches me is, and you can see it's God, because you stop and think about this. By nature, a person will not put his own flaws on paper.
Right.
You know what I mean? You mess up. You're not gonna want to write down and let everybody know what you just did. But God put it in there to show that they were human.
Right.
To show what kind of personalities they had. To show they wasn't no great supermen or anything like that. They were regular people making regular mistakes. Like, especially read Paul's life.
Mm-hmm.
Paul made so many mistakes, it was ridiculous. He said, everything I try to do that I want to do, I shouldn't be doing. And the stuff I need to, which I should be doing, I ain't doing.
Right.
He just like, I'm aggravated.
You can see that.
His life was living. But even in all that, everything he went through, he realized that God loved him and God gave everything for him. And because of that, he was the same way. He was just trying to do what he could do for
God.
Amen. You know what I'm saying?
You know, and going back a little bit with that man of God I was talking about, I knew he meant it when he said it because I needed it.
Right.
I was going through something at that time and I just needed to hear that God loves me.
Exactly.
You know? And so he ministered to me when he did that.
Exactly.
He only did it when God told him to do it. Okay.
Right.
It was awesome. You know,
really stuck in when he needed.
Yeah.
To.
Yeah. So what we really trying to say that God loves you. Everybody out there, God loves you. It don't matter where you at, where you going. You know, whatever faith you got, saved or not saved. The bottom line, God loves you. And the old saying is that God will love you all the way to hell. You know, and some people can't understand that. You know, I mean, if God loves me, you know, why he lets all this happen? You know, he got a plan. He's got the plan. He laid it out. And on Christmas Day, we call it is Jesus' birthday. That's where it starts. You know, I mean, that's he sent his son, and John 3:16 and 17 lays it out. You know, He didn't come to judge the world, condemn the world.
Exactly, you know? Exactly. And like you said, like you were saying about he didn't come to judge and condemn the world. And because he loves you enough, he's going to let you make your own decisions.
Right, right. Free will.
He's going, because he gave you that free will, and he's not going to break your own free will. No. Now, don't get me wrong. He's going to nudge you along the way. He's going to try to put you. He's going to try to put buffers on the side. He's going to grab one side this side.
There'll be signs
out there. And try to keep you on the right path.
There'll be signs out there.
And hopefully you're going to stay on that path. But you know what? Dude, you can jump fences. Where I live at, they got a lot of cow pastures and everything. And dude, they had a cow. I mean, literally, just ripped right through that fence. I don't know if a coyote was chasing him or something was after him, but he went right through that fence, knocked that whole fence down and everything, because he was bound and determined to get past that fence. And look, a cow's, I ain't going to say a cow's not really smart, but a cow's not as smart, in my mind, as a human being.
Yeah, yeah.
So what I'm saying is, if a cow can figure out how to get through a fence, we can definitely figure out how to get over a fence.
Well, I got a little story about the cow and the cow being how wise a cow is. I mean, I was, you know, of course, I had used wisdom to think of this, and it probably was God that showed me this, but at the time, I went hunting someplace with I think it was my father years ago, and we went way back into this area in woods that I wasn't familiar with. I knew the highway was right there, but we went way back in the woods, and all of a sudden, I couldn't find my way out, you know? But they had some cows back there, and they had made trails. So all of a sudden, I had this idea. I said, well, I'm going to chase one of these cows and follow him because they got trails. You know, they don't know where they're going. So I did that. Well, just like a cowboy. Well, go, go, you know. And I just followed him. And don't you know what? He led me all the way out to the front where I knew where I was.
That's crazy.
I never could forget that. So, you know, cows knows how to, get back to the front where he eats and stays and all that. But so I figured, hey, I'm just going to follow him, you know. So.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I never thought of something like that. I'm to remember that one. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah. So we get back to Christmas. It's just Christ's birthday. And next week we'll be celebrating that. And it's really about God's love. And, at Jesus' birthday, we should realize this, that God loves us. We've been talking about that. God loves us. The other thing that he sent his son to save us. He sent Jesus to save us. Okay? And if we believe in Jesus, we will have eternal life with him or with God or in heaven. You know, we can have it on earth, but we're definitely going to have it when we pass. Or either we're going to, either through death we're going to go, or if the rapture comes first, you know.
Exactly.
Right? And it's all about that Jesus came it's all about the kingdom of God. And we didn't have access in the kingdom of God until Jesus came.
Exactly.
You know? You know, and he's the one that paid the price. He's the one that was nailed on the cross. You know, we were separated from God because of sin.
Exactly.
You know,
and I was thinking about something too. You know, looking at the time and the seasons of what happened and everything.
Right.
Said God so loved the world. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? The world, if you look at the world, what we consider the world is the unsaved, the lost and unsaved. And when Jesus came, we got to stop and look at it. For 400 years, they was in the dark ages.
Yeah.
In other words, they didn't have no prophets preaching. Right. They didn't have nobody giving the word of God out. They didn't have nothing for 400 mm-hmm. years. Mm-hmm. And that was the same amount of time that the Jews was actually in captivity, was 400 years and everything. So they didn't have nobody. So during that time, they didn't have a great prophet Elijah all them, and Malachi and Amos and all them telling them the right way. So you stop and think about that. What happens when nobody's there to direct people to God? People tend to go their own ways. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's what happened. That's how the Pharisees got developed, the Sadducees got developed, the Zealots got developed. All these different groups got developed because they was kind of developing their own ministries into what they would happen. And so they all went their own way and they got offered the one true way. And because then there was no man of God no more to direct them on the right path. So everybody was kind of the thing. So when Jesus came on the scene, they already had their envision in their mind what God was supposed to do.
Didn't want him.
Because each group had their own thing. Of what, one was looking, like the zealots were looking at God as to be this thing that was going to conquer Rome and kill them all off and everything. And the Sadducees had their own thing that they believed that God was supposed to do. The Pharisees had that thing that God was supposed to do. And unfortunately, God had his own thing that he wanted to do.
Right.
And his thing was not to condemn the world, but to love the world.
Right.
And that just threw him all out of the box. Even Herod had his own vision that he wanted God to do.
It had to be, you know, Jesus had to come to save. He had to save mankind. He had to become man. He had to become a man.
Exactly.
He had to, you know, and they couldn't accept that.
Nope.
You know? Like you said, they had their own thing.
They had their
own
thing.
And that wasn't important, except to Jesus.
And that wasn't, exactly. Jesus had his plan.
Yeah.
And you know, and that goes to show you, sometimes we can put ourselves in a box where we think God should do this, and God's not doing this, God's doing this.
Man.
And unfortunately, if God's not going to change his plan to meet up our plans, we got to change our plans to meet up with his plans.
Well.
And if we do that, then we're going to be a lot better off.
Amen.
You know, I found that out this year. You know, I was doing some things, I was making some decisions in my life and everything, and I was going one way, but the problem was I was on one road and God was on a different road.
Right.
And I had to and don't get me wrong, sometimes when you do things, you're going to meet up with obstacles. That's normal.
Well, yeah.
That's okay. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean God's not in it because you're really meeting up with obstacles. But you can get so far on your path that you can lose track of what God's path. I even gave a word on this message over here that I have a vision I had. And of what I thought God was doing, because somehow God showed me in a dream, and I thought this dream was going to bring me, was going this way. But then the storm happened, and then God, and I was like, and God just pulled me a completely different way, and come to find out, I was just way off course.
Mm-hmm.
And I had to get back on course.
Right. You know, and talking about that, you know, so all those years before Christ actually was born, you had this, all the prophets, were all the prophecies. That was went forth, and you know, it came from God, all right. It was all these prophecies, okay. And then of course Jesus had. John the Baptist came on the scene, and he was saying, "Hey, he's here. He's now. He's
exactly."
Here.
He was showing right then and there he was coming.
He's here. Receive him. He's here. All these prophecies, you know, he's here. He's on this earth. He's here.
Yeah. You know? And I actually think if I'm wrong on this, but I actually think John even pointed out Jesus.
Yeah. Well, he said, I'm not worthy.
Yeah, I'm not even worthy to do your shoe. He pointed out. He told him, this is the Son of God and everything. Mm-hmm. He's the kind of point. Well, I don't know if he said exactly like that, but he pretty much said, this is the man. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, he said that's the man. That's Jesus. When Jesus came right here to get baptized, that's him. You know, so I'm saying in my own words, but it's like, that's what I've been talking about.
Yeah.
You know, he's the man, you know. And after he got baptized, you saw a spirit come and represent the Holy Spirit.
Right.
You know, you had Jesus there, and then God spoke, you know, he spoke and he let everybody know right there.
Right.
Know?
Exactly. So, you know, and you know, think about it. Well, my mind is like, how can God do all these things, but people be so set in their
way, still blind.
And deny it and everything. Yeah. But we still see that today.
Yeah, you do.
We still see God will do so much in this whole world. So God is doing so much good in this world.
Amen.
But you still have people that don't know Christ.
Right. And I think that's why.
Don't want to know Christ.
No, I think that's why we need to really celebrate his birthday. Because it should be a celebration, okay?
Exactly.
We should let people know every day about his birth, you know. But that day is set aside to celebrate. So we should celebrate.
Right.
You know?
And the world is more ready to receive it. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And everything.
There it is.
You know, because I was talking to somebody about that. You know, I'm just going out on this, but you know.
Oh.
It's very dramatic when somebody loses a loved one this time of the year.
Yeah,
because,
it is.
Because what happens is they lose that loved one, and then instead of associating Christmas with the good things, they start associating Christmas with the death.
Right.
You know what I mean? And that's not
that's
good. That makes it so much harder on somebody and everything.
Right.
But even in that, you got to get we got to get to the point where we got to realize what the true meaning of Christmas is.
Right.
Because when Jesus came on the earth, he came to die. That was his whole thing. That's when he came to die.
Right.
For us and everything. But he came to die that he can make us, the sinners, us, back right with God.
Amen.
And that was his whole purpose. That was the whole sole purpose to come back yeah, for us.
I mean, if you want to enter the kingdom of God,
right,
at any state while you're living, or even after you die, if you want to be in the kingdom of God, you got to accept Christ because he's the doorway. He's right. The only way.
Right.
You know, he's the bridge. He's the door. He's the only way. That's God's plan. And he poured that out, and that's how much he loved us, you know. Because he didn't have to. I mean, after Adam and Eve sin and all that, and he tried to kill everybody with a flood, all right? So, I mean, after that, he could have just said, oh, I messed up. You know, like, yeah. I washed my hand of this, you know? And we'd all been stuck forever, you know?
And you know what? And they said that Noah found grace in God's eyes.
Yes, yes.
Because God was just going to wipe them all off. But all right. Noah found grace. And then with Moses, again, Moses was like, God was going to wipe them out again. Yeah. And start all over with Moses.
But Moses, it was more like he was a type of Christ, you know? Right. And the ship was salvation, you know? Oh, if you believe, you know,
right.
What God was going to do. Nobody believed it because it never rained before. Never rained before, and it was nothing but dry, like maybe desert almost. And it's hard to believe if it never rained before.
Exactly, you know, and you need some faith for that. And you know, I was thinking about that this morning. Actually, I was throwing that around my mind because I was reading the scriptures and everything. I was thinking about faith, and I was reading, I think it was Luke 16 or something like that. Mm-hmm. And Jesus said, "All you need is the size of a faith, the size of a seed, a mustard seed.
Yeah, that ain't much.
And you could tell the tree to get up out of the ground, pluck itself out of the ground, and throw itself into the thing. Imagine, you know how small a mustard seed." It is.
If you drop it, you ain't gonna find it. That's how small it is.
I planted mustard before in my life. You know what I'm saying? I mean, literally, it is hard to hold one mustard seed in your hand because it's so small. It's almost smaller than a grain of salt.
Right.
That's how small a mustard seed is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's hard to hold that little bitty seed in your hand. Because I remember I would try to plant mustard. Because mustard, when it grows big.
Yeah.
It grows big, makes a big plant. You know what I'm saying? Literally, I have mustard growing in my yard. By the time it flowers and everything, it bolts out, it's taller than me. I'm 6 foot tall. I'm 6 foot tall. You know what I'm saying? I'm over 6 foot tall. And it'll be tall as me. You know what I'm saying? But it's a little bitty seed. And I'm like, I said, and you know what? It kind of makes me feel bad because I stopped to think about how small that faith is.
Mm-hmm. It's small.
And you have to have to be able to do something so great. And I'm saying, man, my faith's not even the size of mustard seed because I can't do that yet.
Your faith can multiply as you apply the word of God and get the word of God in.
Right.
You hear the word of God. It multiplies. You know, it's like, you know, imagine me seeds that plant, that 6 feet tall plant, God.
Oh, yeah.
That one little bitty, bitty, bitty seed.
My God, it's a lot of seeds and everything.
I mean, my God. But God is awesome.
But I was going to say.
Multiply.
Yeah, but I was going to say, I stopped to think about how bad, I started to feel bad. I said, man, I don't have no faith at all, man. My faith must be small that I can't even do that, tell a tree to get up off the ground. But you know what, God showed me in that. He said, you know what? It's not by you, it's by me.
Right. You know, you can look at it that way, but we shouldn't look at it that way. We should look at what can that little bitty seed do?
I mean, exactly.
And you saw that big tall bush, and you must have had hundreds and hundreds of seeds.
God, they got lots of seeds in there, man. Look, I literally take that. What I do is after it bolts and everything, I'll take the tree, and I'll leave it finished, I'll leave it dry out. Then I'll chop my yard up, and I'll just drag the tree behind my hand, just drag it and make the seeds everywhere. That when the springtime comes, I got mustard growing all over my yard, you know?
That one little seed multiplies enough where you can do a field.
Oh, yeah, a whole field. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. If you took the time and planted it out right. You know what I'm saying? But you can do a lot with and that's how it is with God. You having faith. You don't. I think what God's trying to say is, look, you don't need much faith to do great things.
No.
Because I'm about to see this small. You don't need much faith. You just got to believe in what God said. And if you believe in what he said, then you can do things. You know, we got things, you know, because we compare in the world how big everything is. And then you say, well, you got to be this big man to do something. You know what I mean? I was listening to a story this morning of this lady. She lived back in 1912. She came to America. She didn't even know how to speak English. Mm-hmm. She couldn't even speak English for almost all the way into her adult life. Well, she saved her money, pennies. I mean, literally pennies at a time. and she saved it up, and then she started paying for her children to come to America. Now, this was in the 1912, because she was an immigrant. She started paying for, then once she did that, she kept saving up her money, and she saved up $2,500, and she bought a furniture store. Mm. And she started selling furniture. Right, and when she sold her company to Warren Buffett, a $2,500 company, she sold it to Warren Buffett for almost a couple of millions of dollars.
Wow.
Millions of dollars, but she never invested anything but the $2,500 into her company.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they had another guy, same thing. He did the same thing, $2,500. He started up with a little business, and he's the owner of Enterprise, the car company. You know what I'm saying? So what I'm trying to say is, we can't despise small beginnings.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Having faith,
right?
And it all starts with this scripture.
Right.
Having faith that God came to love for us and died for us, nice. and he loved the world, that he gave his only begotten son.
Amen.
That's where it all starts. That's the seed.
That's it.
That's the mustard seed, and with that it grows into anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, like Jesus. First of all, God gave his best.
Right.
Jesus was a type of seed.
Right.
And then through Jesus, it multiplied. I mean, multiply to
exactly
thousands of people saved.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Even for Billy Graham, one of the greatest evangelists, his story starts here.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Oh, there. Yeah, that's where his story starts. Benny Hinn, his story starts right here.
Right.
John Hagee, his story starts right here. Every Christian I know, that story starts right there.
Yeah.
That's the beginning of their life, their story. Because God so loved the world that God changed Billy Graham.
Amen.
God so loved the world that God changed Benny Hinn. God so loved the world that God changed you.
And it's funny you brought that up, because my last thing I want to say about, you know, about God's love and about Jesus' birth, there's a saying right here. It comes out of John 3:16-17. But I had said this about 20 episodes ago. I brought it in one of our lessons, but I'm gonna bring it again because it fits perfect. Okay, it says it's a fill a blank thing. Okay, and you put your name at the blank. Okay, and it says, for God love. Put your name there, blank. So much that he gave one and only son, so that if, put your name, blank, it's a blank, put your name, believe in him, blank, put your name in there, will not perish but have eternal life. Now, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to put my name in it. And when you put your name in it, when I put my name in it, okay? You ready? Let's go. For God loved Terry so much that he gave his own one and only son, so that if Terry believes in him, Terry will not perish but have eternal life.
Cool.
Now, one more example, and I'm just going to put a name. I'm going to put Jack in it. Okay, I don't know no Jack, I don't think. I'll put Jack just for example. You can put your name. You know what's good about this? You could put your spouse. It could be a prayer. You could put your spouse.
Come on.
You could put your kids or anybody, okay? For God loved Jack so much that he gave his one and only son, so that if Jack believes in him, Jack will not perish but have eternal life.
Come on.
And that is the gospel, the good news, in a nutshell.
Exactly.
And
that's
it.
That's the mustard seed. That's where everybody's story starts at, right there.
So, yes.
So we want to thank you once again for coming. And, you know, I hope that you're really enjoying your holiday season and everything right now, celebrating the birth of Jesus and realizing this is where your story starts.
Amen.
Everybody's, no matter, like I said earlier, everybody's story starts right here. That God so loved them, that God gave his only begotten son for them. And we want to pray for you like we do every week. You know, if you haven't accepted Christ yet, we'd ask you to do that. And it's easy. All you got to do is ask Jesus to come into your heart. But you know what? If you can accept Christ into your life and you still cannot experience God's love. And you know, I know a lot of people that have accepted Christ already, but they're so much under bondage and everything, and they're depressed and they're upset and they don't know the love of God in their heart. And now at the top of the year, where it's easy to get upset because everything, you know, is kind of seems to be going against you, you know, and everything. So I want to pray, you know, number one, that, you know, if you're going through some hard times right now and you're struggling with life situations and everything, that God would reveal that love.
Mm-hmm.
That he gave for his son to you. So, Father God, I pray right now in the name of Jesus, Lord God, that they would feel the love, the love that you gave, Lord God, for them very beginning, Lord God. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we want to thank you once again for coming. We ask you to like and subscribe to these messages and also share them. And like you say, we are on Spotify. We are on Apple. We are on Google Podcasts. Yeah, yeah. We're on YouTube. And if you haven't seen it, and just search our name and catch up with it. We thank you for coming. We'll see you again next week.